Good evening. This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday night, March 25th, 2020, on your public radio station, 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Ahead on tonight's edition of Ozarks, updates from Governor Hutchinson regarding COVID-19 in the state. Today, at his regular press briefing, he, again, firmly stressed the need for Arkansans to follow the guidelines of behavior to slow the spread of COVID-19. He says one guideline, a limit on social gatherings to fewer than 10 people, will soon be a directive. Tomorrow on Morning Edition on 91.3 KUAF, toilet paper isn't the only thing that people are hoarding these days. But experts say if you're holed up at home, having a stack of cash isn't going to do you much good. And hospitals in rural America are turning to traveling doctors and nurses for help. Continuing coverage of the coronavirus crisis tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 on Morning Edition on 91.3 KUAF. Plus, news and information from around the region and state with Antoinette Grajeda at 5:30 and 7:30, and the Community Spotlight with Pete Hartman tomorrow morning at 6:30 and 8:30. As of 3 this afternoon, park amenities in Siloam Springs are closed. The city announced today that this includes all playground equipment, basketball courts, tennis courts, skateboard facilities, soccer fields, baseball and softball fields, batting cages, the JBU outdoor gym, the futsal court, Tails and Trails Dog Park, Bird Blind at City Lake, and all park bathrooms. These amenities are closed until further notice. Groups not practicing social distancing on city property are prohibited. Groups of more than 10 are prohibited. The Dogwood Springs Trail will remain open for the time being. City Lake Trail will remain open. Parklands will remain open. And gazebos will remain open under social distancing guidelines. United Way of Northwest Arkansas will implement a COVID-19 response fund to support local community members that have felt an impact by the coronavirus. This will begin in early April. The fund is designed to complement the work of government and public health officials to address all aspects of the outbreak in Northwest Arkansas. The first phase of proactive and responsive grants will fund nonprofits to assist with the immediate needs of economically vulnerable populations feeling an impact by COVID-19 in the areas of health, education, and financial stability. Donation to the fund can be made by individuals, companies, or organizations. You can learn more online at unitedwaynwa.org/COVID-19donate. You can also text COVID-19NWA to 71777. Good Wednesday evening. This is Ozarks at Large. There are about 400 new medical professionals in Arkansas ready to help during the COVID-19 pandemic. During today's press briefing in Little Rock, Governor Asa Hutchinson explained the state is adjusting some medical licensing regulations. The governor says as the fight against COVID-19 will spread into more weeks and months possibly, he's concerned about fatigue for nurses and doctors. He says that fatigue and the likelihood some medical personnel will become sick led to some licensure alterations.
I've asked the medical board, and they responded very quickly, to expedite the licensing of our healthcare workers. And so medical board expedited emergency temporary licensure to medical residents who have completed their 1 year of internship. Their licensure fees have been waived, and as a result of that, we have 15 residents that have done their internship, that have applied for this quick licensure provision, and they will be able to enter the healthcare field in a faster way. In addition, the medical board accelerated their overall licensing process, and the result is that we have over 100 new physicians that have been licensed in the month of March.
Similar licensure changes also mean about 300 new nurses are available for work. Licensure fees are being waived as well. The governor has signed a proclamation for a special session of the General Assembly to convene tomorrow afternoon at 1. He says there is broad agreement among House and Senate members and the necessary votes to pass legislation regarding COVID-19 relief. He says last week, more than 9,000 unemployment claims were filed in Arkansas. By early afternoon today, an additional 8,000 claims, including 700 claims this morning, had been filed for this week. And almost every day since the governor began the COVID-19 press briefings, he has stressed the need for the public to follow guidelines to help slow the spread of the virus, a familiar refrain that includes limiting social groups to fewer than 10. The governor says that guideline will become something stronger soon.
I've heard that this is not, while many Arkansans are abiding by that very carefully, there are some exceptions to that, and those exceptions can endanger what we're trying to do in getting a handle on this crisis. And so this has been a guideline, and this will be made into a directive. And so the Department of Health will be working on the specific language of a directive that when it comes to inside social events, that we need to follow the guidelines of the Department of Health.
And late afternoon today, the Arkansas Department of Health reported 280 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state. The ADH is updating those numbers four times a day at the agency's website. Also today, the city of Rogers held a media briefing with several city officials and business leaders providing updates on the coronavirus response in the city. The briefing included Rogers School Superintendent Marlon Berry, who addressed the announcement that a student at Tucker Elementary had tested positive for COVID-19.
As you may have heard, we have had a confirmed case of the virus, a third grade student in our district. We, of course, are cooperating with the state health department to take the necessary steps to inform and protect others. And we will continue our efforts to clean and sanitize all of our buildings in preparation for a potential return to school.
That potential return to schools is currently set for April 20th. Berry says in the meantime, students have been given learning packets and technology. The school district will also continue feeding students while they learn from home.
We have fed now over 1,100 kids each and every day, and we plan to increase those sites starting next Monday. We're serving breakfast and lunch in our summer feeding format that we've had previously.
Berry says they are looking forward to when students are back in their classrooms and on the playgrounds. This is a Wednesday evening edition of Ozarks at Large.
KUAF is the modern version of the public square. Listeners come together to learn the latest information about the ever-changing story around the coronavirus. But unlike what you might hear on the street or on social media, we check the information we give so we can be sure it's true and reliable. Since you're relying on KUAF, now is a good time to support this nonprofit news source. Please join our contributing listeners and give a gift online to keep this vital public service going strong. You can give online at supportkuaf.com.
Beaver Water District officials are reminding the public that the local water supply is still safe to drink. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
When the COVID-19 pandemic reached Arkansas, a wave of panic buying came with it. Store shelves that were typically stocked full of toilet paper and cleaning supplies were now bare. Lane Kreider, CEO of Beaver Water District, says people seemed to be purchasing a lot of bottled water as well.
You know, it's apparent that there's been a number of instances where people are buying up, you know, most of the bottled water, but just because we see and are getting reports that the shelves are emptying of the bottled water, and we wanted to make people aware that the water from their taps are safe, just as they've always been.
Beaver Water District serves more than 358,000 customers in Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, and Fayetteville. Kreider says the four cities are working just as hard as the district to make sure water continues to be readily available and safe.
It's definitely a cooperative effort between the four cities and the district, and we want to make sure that everyone understands that in this type of environment that we're facing now, on a regular day, that this drinking water is safe and it's very economical, and we would encourage everyone to utilize that tap water, that drinking water source from their cities, rather than going to the expense of buying any bottled water.
In addition to saving local residents money, drinking from the tap may save them an extra trip to the store, which is helpful in practicing social distancing as recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. According to the World Health Organization, there is no evidence about the survival of the COVID-19 virus in drinking water or sewage. Kreider says Beaver Water District is continuing to treat Northwest Arkansas's drinking water as it always has.
This particular coronavirus, this novel coronavirus, is similar in nature to many of the other influenza, acute respiratory viruses. And the conventional treatment processes that we have in place, including the oxidants that we use, like chlorine, and then, of course, our filtration processes, those eliminate inactivate those all those types of viruses. And so our process hasn't changed from the standpoint of how we treat our water because, again, there's not really any difference. And this coronavirus, this COVID-19 virus, is just as susceptible to the same disinfection processes that we have used for many, many years.
While educating the public specifically about the safety of drinking water amidst the COVID-19 pandemic is new, Beaver Water District CEO Lane Kreider says they educate Northwest Arkansas residents about the safety of drinking water year-round.
We have a concerted effort on our public education, public affairs side of things to focus our messaging to the Hispanic and Marshallese communities and other underserved populations in Northwest Arkansas, because there, in certain populations, there's an inherent distrust of the water supply, and rightly so, depending on where they're from. But so we have a concerted effort year round and always to try to make sure that they understand that they can trust their tap water, or sometimes as they refer to it, their faucet water. And of course, now more than ever, that message is important.
In accordance with recommendations from health officials, Beaver Water District's Administration and Education Center is closed to the public until further notice. However, Kreider says core staff members are still working 24/7 to continue providing safe drinking water to Northwest Arkansas. More information is available at bwdh20.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
The city of Fayetteville is suspending curbside recycling during the pandemic, but residents can still make sure the recyclables don't go to the landfill. Yesterday, we reached Heather Elsey, environmental educator with the city of Fayetteville, to learn more. She says the city is suspending the curbside service to ensure safety of city employees.
Yeah, we wanted to definitely look out for our recycling team and having them out going through all of the curbside recycling, which includes a lot of bottles and cans. We were concerned about their health and looking out for the city as well and limiting exposure. So all the guys and gals are back here at the shop and working on projects. And we've put out drop-off sites for residents to utilize instead.
And there are several drop-off sites. Where are they?
Yeah, well, we've got our two that are always open. We've got the Happy Hollow location, and at 1420 South Happy Hollow. And then, of course, our North Street drop-off, the Mary and Orton Recycling, they're at 735 West North. Now we've got four new drop-offs that we just set up this week. And there's one at the Boys and Girls Club located at 560 North Ruppel Road. And then we've also got one at the Locomotion Family Fun Park, the Gary Hampton Field, and the Fayetteville Athletic Club.
I think Happy Hollow is, if not a 24/7 operation, there are long hours where you can go there.
Yes. Actually, all of these are going to be available 24 hours, except the Mary and Orton. We're going to continue to limit the hours there and have an attendant on site.
Anything that you could recycle through curbside, you'll be able to recycle at these drop-offs?
Yes. Two of the drop-offs, so we rotate out these bins, and a couple of them are from our older apartment route, and we didn't offer glass at that time. So if you get to the drop-off and there isn't a slot for glass, And we are really encouraging residents to make sure to read the labels on the containers and make sure that their items are getting into the right compartments. It's really important to make sure that we get back here and don't have contaminated materials for baling. So we are encouraging residents to really look and sort their materials, but they will notice that if one of the locations has one of our older boxes, there won't be glass available. However, you can always continue to save up your glass and take it to the Marion Orton or Happy Hollow site at any time.
Also, kind of using this different time as a way to do a bit of a spring cleanup with the city?
Yeah, definitely. So we've had a lot of projects that we were really excited about this spring and getting out and doing some cleanups, and things have just changed. So we're trying to change with that as well. And we're calling this the Quarantine Spring Clean. And we're encouraging residents to practice safe social distancing, but to get out and help clean up Fayetteville. We've had a lot of rain here recently, and the ditches are just full of cups and all sorts of litter. And if anybody needs bags or gloves, we're happy to bring those to them. We'll sit them on their doorstep. And then once they've built the bags, they can just text us or give us a call, and we'd be happy to come out and pick those up.
Yeah, obviously use the gloves because you're going to be picking up stuff and you don't know who's touched it, where it's been. But you'll just drop it off. They can use it, wrap it up, let you know, and you'll pick it back up?
Yeah, yep. We're not sure, you know, what this looks like with our Earth Day events and everything that we've had planned here in the city. And so I just encourage everybody to really follow us on social media and to, you know, reach out to us if you have any questions about what's going on, and look for these, you know, fun events. We are going to try to keep the community engaged and keep up with our Earth Day projects. It's just going to look a little different. And even now, going out and into your neighborhoods and doing these cleanups, we do really want to just encourage everybody to really practice that safe social distancing and, you know, wave at your neighbors. And but do try to get out and enjoy this beautiful weather that I hear it's supposed to be 80 degrees and sunny tomorrow. So I think it'll be the perfect day to get out and clean up some litter.
Heather, thanks for your time. Keep us up to date, okay?
For sure. Thank you so much, Kyle. I really appreciate it.
Our conversation with Heather Elzey, environmental educator with the City of Fayetteville, took place yesterday. This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, March 25th. Home construction and renovation in Northwest Arkansas appears to be weathering the coronavirus pandemic for now. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich brings us this report.
A front-end loader moves gravel at a home construction site in Fayetteville. While much of Arkansas is at a standstill, new home construction in Northwest Arkansas is business as usual, says Shauna Kasparik. She's executive officer of the Northwest Arkansas Home Builders Association. She says of 280 members, one-third are builders. The rest provide adjunct construction services.
Subcontractors, the suppliers, title companies, banks, anybody that helps us as a whole to provide affordable housing for Northwest Arkansas.
According to the University of Arkansas Center for Business and Economic Research Skyline Report, home sales in Northwest Arkansas last year, pre-pandemic, were at an all-time high, nearly 9,600 sold, a boon to builders and suppliers. But the future trend remains unknown, Kasparik says.
One of the catalysts is the fact that they reduced the interest rates down to nothing. So the our real estate agents, our mortgage companies, our builders, everybody is just business as usual. Of course, they do. They are taking precautions with regard to the social distancing, trying to keep that gatherings of 10 or less on the job sites. They're trying to do the best they can while they're trying to keep up with the demand right now for our residential builds.
The construction materials supply chain, however, some of it linked to China, has seen a downturn, she says.
When China shut down everything last month, Some of my suppliers and my specialists, like our wood guys, our countertop guys, and our supply companies who do depend on China for importing some of the materials they need to finish a job, they are having difficulty actually getting some of the materials and finishing their jobs.
Pandemic social distancing must also be observed on construction sites.
Now, in combination with the CDC recommendations of no large crowds and social distancing, some of our suppliers and our subcontractors are also getting their jobs postponed. So not only are they finding it more difficult to get the supplies that they need, now the customer is saying, let's wait, you know, wait this out a few weeks, and then you can come into my home and finish the job. So it is starting to hit our members economically as well.
The Arkansas Contractors and Licensing Board protects the health, safety, and welfare of Arkansas residents, establishing minimum standards for licensed contractors. But like everywhere, its administration has temporarily downsized during the pandemic, leaving it up to individual contractors to follow best management practices. Another consequence of the pandemic, Kasperik says, is the cancellation of the association's key annual Northwest Arkansas Home Show, scheduled this weekend at the Northwest Arkansas Convention Center in Springdale.
Yes, we were forced to postpone our 30th annual Northwest Arkansas Home Show. It was supposed to happen this coming weekend, March 27th through 29th. We had over 100 vendors, local businesses, builders, suppliers, subcontractors, banks, anybody you can think of that can help with home improvement projects and building a home. They are not able to showcase their products and services this week. So what we did, and we have come up with on social media, our Northwest Arkansas Home Show at Home. It's actually underway. It started today, and our vendors who were supposed to participate in our actual physical event are now having the opportunity to share their products and services online through our NWA Home Show Facebook page and our Instagram page.
Kasperik says she's asked mayors in the region as well as Governor Asa Hutchinson to define the building industry as an essential service to keep contractors and workers on the job.
So if we do end up in a quarantine situation where the government says stay home for 2 weeks, our members, our builders, our suppliers can still work. Just to keep our infrastructure going throughout this situation.
The National Association of Home Builders is communicating with state associations about ways to mitigate the effects of the pandemic on residential construction. To start, a federal emergency response coronavirus bill passed by Congress March 18th will provide paid family and medical leave, paid sick leave, and new tax credits. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
You can visit the Northwest Arkansas Home Builders Association annual home show to learn about contractors and services on Facebook. In response to the coronavirus outbreak, a local distillery is now making sanitizer that they're giving away for free. Evan O'Callaghan, the creative director for Fox Trail Distillery in Rogers, says they're typically making bourbon, but they knew they could also do something about the sanitizer shortage.
Our regulatory agency, basically, you know, they issued an emergency kind of referendum, you know, letting us produce this and distribute it for free. First sale would be another story. We would have to go through, you know, formula process, probably label approval. But that profiting off of this was not really our intent. We're just looking to give back to the community.
Fox Trail Distillery started offering its sanitizer free of charge last week and is continuing to offering it this week. It started this afternoon at 4 and will continue until supplies run out. O'Callaghan says the response has been overwhelming, but they are asking for one thing.
We're asking that customers limit themselves to one item per visitor, just so we can make sure that everybody gets what they need and everybody is served.
In a post on social media, Fox Trail is also urging people to bring their own containers that are no bigger than 16 ounces. They also state the distillery will continue producing sanitizer until the needs of the community are met. And while their bar is closed, O'Callaghan says their other products are still available while picking up the sanitizer.
We have our products on the shelf here for people to take home. So if we have thirsty patrons out there who are missing being able to go out and enjoy cocktails or drinks out on the town, they can do the same at home with our spirits.
Fox Trail will post updates on the availability of their sanitizer on the distillery's social media, and O'Callaghan says they will also be using it to share cocktail recipes for people to make at home.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, Governor Asa Hutchinson issued a directive ordering restaurants and bars to stop dine-in services and to switch to carry-out, curbside, and delivery options. Since then, many service industry workers across the region have lost their jobs, while others have seen their hours drastically cut. Many of them don't have much financial recourse. So one restaurant manager figured he could do something to help. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek spoke with Sam Ballou, the general manager of Scotch and Soda in Bentonville, about the Northwest Arkansas virtual tip jar.
Tell us a little bit about Scotch and Soda. What have you experienced at your bar and restaurant so far because of this outbreak?
So we have essentially laid off our entire staff starting last week. And then starting today, we have just now launched a to-go menu that is on both our Instagram and Facebook pages. But we will only be bringing back a small portion of our staff to execute that menu. So most of our folks will still either have no hours or just a fraction of what they normally have.
And how many employees is this impacting?
I think there are about a dozen of us there at Scotch and Soda.
What about other people in the service industry? Are you hearing from them? What are they saying about the situations that they're in?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think most places are similar to us. Even if they are open, they're still operating with just a small portion of their staffs. Obviously, some restaurants are more able to accommodate this burgeoning to-go option that you're seeing everywhere. But there are some places that, you know, either don't have food as an option altogether, so they're kind of out of luck. And then another point that I've noticed, this is more anecdotally, but a lot of people have just been unable to get a hold of the unemployment office just because they're completely overwhelmed with claims. I'm sure that they are doing as much as they possibly can to accommodate as many people as possible, but the phone lines are tied up. The websites have been down. So even those traditional social safety nets aren't necessarily functioning at 100% right now.
Why do you think this outbreak is having such a huge impact on this industry?
I mean, obviously, there's the grouping that's a problem, and obviously, we don't want people grouped together right now. But I think another part of it is that, you know, people are taking care of their families first, which is totally understandable, and then their jobs second. And then one of the few things I actually remember from college is this concept of a third place, and that can also kind of be known as like a home away from home type place. And these are the places that people are probably going to be craving, if not now, definitely in the coming weeks. But if we're not careful, I'm not sure that there'll be as many of those places left. So we do have to pay attention to this vulnerable market. So if there's any of your favorite restaurants or bars that you can support with to-go orders or through something like the virtual tip jar or just contacting individual employees that you particularly like, that would be strongly encouraged.
Let's talk about that virtual tip jar. What is it? How does it work?
Basically, I just totally stole this from a article that I had read. It was the Washington, D.C. area, I believe. I'm sorry, I can't give credit to whoever came up with it there, but basically totally took it from them. It's just a Google spreadsheet that is an index of industry workers and their corresponding PayPal, Cash Apps, Venmos, whether the restaurant they're working at is open or cut back or completely closed. They have an option to list whether or not they have health care, which was sort of relevant for the corona situation, and where they work. If someone will want to jump on there and find their favorite employee and throw them a $20 tip and help them out a little bit, that would be awesome.
anyone can add their name to this list. So it sounds like it is very much on an honor system.
This is absolutely an honor system, but I would hope that people wouldn't be taking advantage of that, though that's, I suppose, entirely possible. But I also would expect that anybody who's donating would likely be familiar with these individuals. At least that was my gut instinct. And this is by no means the only way to help anybody out. It's just, I've got more time than I would like to have right now, so I thought it could be useful and help a couple people out, maybe.
Do you know of any other efforts to help service industry workers while they're in this limbo?
As far as I know that the USBG is got a grant program or an emergency aid program. I shouldn't even call it a grant program that you can sign up for, and you don't have to be a member of the USBG. That's the United States Bartenders Guild. I'm not exactly sure whether you have to actually be a bartender or if you can be a server as well. I know that locally in the Bentonville area, our downtown DBI organization has definitely been in a lot of communication with us, helping get our to-go menus out and making sure that we're able to get our message to as many people as possible.
And what kind of relief would you like to see for service industry workers?
Yeah, anything from, I'm not sure what we've got going on at the federal level, but any kind of aid at that level would be great. And then things that would help the service industry, I know that they've loosened the laws for beer and wine to go. Spirits to go would also be huge for us in the area. There's a lot of great cocktail bars that can't do any food, so they're sort of having to close completely. That would be awesome. I'm sure a lot of people would love to be able to drink their favorite cocktails from home safely. Yeah, really anything helps. Just good vibes, sending good vibes out there. That would be great. If you don't have any money to donate, just send your favorite server or bartender a message saying, hey, I appreciate what you guys do for us, and let me know if there's any way I can help you.
Thank you very much for pulling over on the side of the road and speaking with us today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for helping get the word out.
That was Sam Ballou, the general manager of Scotch and Soda in Bentonville, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek about the Northwest Arkansas Virtual Tip Jar, which now has a list of nearly 900 service industry workers. The link to the tip jar has been shared across Facebook, and we will link to it at our website, OzarksAtLarge.com. And tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, some spring races are converting into virtual events because of the pandemic.
What we decided to do is that runners can run equal to or greater distance from what they were registered for and turn in their proof of that.
More about virtual races on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF. Also at OzarksAtLarge.com. And in a time when it seems like we can't control much, you can control when you listen to Ozarks at Large. We're available as a free podcast through services like Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcast, and others. It's absolutely free. Also, you can tell your smart speaker to play Ozarks at Large. And this is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. So, have you had any chocolate this week? Well, with flavors ranging from lavender and bourbon to single-origin dark chocolate, local chocolatier Markham & Fitz started making craft chocolate in 2014. Now, their commitment to producing ethical organic sweets is receiving national attention in the April issue of O Magazine. Co-founder Lauren Blanco spoke with Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth last week and explained how Oprah's publication first discovered the Bentonville-based company.
I actually met the creative director of O Magazine last summer at a fellowship program, the Tory Burch Fellowship Program I attended in June of last year. And I handed him one of our lavender chocolate bars, and he took it with him, and I kept my fingers crossed, and they reached out to us asking for samples. And so we had been talking with them for several months when they chose us for the April issue.
All right. And can you break down kind of, because I know a lot of the issues about sustainability, right, and sustainable companies. Can you break down what your company does to be sustainable and how it's different from other chocolate producers or candy producers?
So we break down our sustainability efforts in a few different ways, through packaging, ingredients, and our manufacturing practices or operations at our facility at the 8th Street Market. And while we're far from perfect, these are kind of a few ways that we're taking initiative to be more sustainable. So from ingredients, you know, we source predominantly organic cocoa beans, sugar. Those are kind of our two staple ingredients and that make up our chocolate bars, as well as the cocoa butter we source is also organic. One of the things we don't talk about a lot, but that is really important to the supply chain and overall like environmental sustainability, is that we source from farms that are biodynamic. So that means the cacao crops are grown in a way that is really good for the environment. So there are crops, different kinds of crops interspersed between the cocoa crops. It doesn't involve like field clearing and destructive forms of mass farming. We also use recyclable and compostable packaging for all of our chocolate bars. So the outer wrapper is completely recyclable. The inside that looks like plastic is a vegetable plastic. It can be composted. And then as far as our operations go, we are part of a zero waste initiative at the 8th Street Market, headed up by Food Loop, so local company that's helping make the food cycle come full circle and compost all of our food waste for us. So those are a few ways that we're taking some initiative to do that.
Yeah. And can you tell me a little bit about the origin of the company? How did a chocolate maker end up in Bentonville, Arkansas?
That's a great question. So my business partner and I are both University of Arkansas alumni. So that's how I guess we ended up in this area. But my background was in like grassroots level economic development in war-torn countries. I worked for a small nonprofit organization that kind of exposed me to business as a force of good and also to cacao, the crop. And my business partner, Preston, he's really passionate about food science and brought kind of the scientific mind to chocolate making. There's a lot of chemistry involved. And so we met through a mutual friend and started making chocolate about 5 or so years ago. And we decided to stay in Northwest Arkansas to start a business.
And what is it about chocolate, I mean, besides just the taste of chocolate, that is so, I think, alluring to people or so enticing? Why is chocolate special?
So chocolate is special for a lot of different reasons. You know, I didn't grow up eating dark chocolate all the time. I actually remember eating like plain dark chocolate kind of for the first time as an adult and like really appreciating it. And at the time, you know, it was just a mass produced chocolate bar. And probably about 6 years ago, a friend of mine making chocolate in his home kitchen. And that was when I tasted like craft chocolate for the first time. And it really kind of blew my mind. It was so dynamic and interesting. And we started learning that, you know, that kind of came from all of these natural flavors in the cocoa bean, and it could be different based on the different origins, kind of like you experience wine or coffee. You know, cocoa is affected by the terroir and where it's grown and what it's grown around. So it has this really amazing kind of culinary experience. And in addition to that, we kind of felt like chocolate is this blank culinary canvas. You know, you start with this base, fascinating ingredient, and then you can make anything. So while we started our company making chocolate bars, we really wanted to kind of open up that experience and create an experience where customers could come and enjoy chocolate, not just in chocolate bar form, but in drink, dessert, confection, pastry, kind of the whole bit.
And how can customers experience that or immerse themselves in that world with you guys?
Yeah, so we have a dessert bar and cafe at the 8th Street Market, where we offer, you know, chocolate cocktails, drinking chocolate, confections, cake, cookies, tarts, lots of different desserts that are all, you know, inspired by the different origins of chocolate that we make. And so you'll see like a different origin indicator on each of our most of our products. And right now, we have had to close the shop due to the pandemic, but we are doing local deliveries of some of our desserts as well as our chocolate bars and prepackaged products. So we're trying to make that available to people even in this crazy time.
Is there a flavor that you are most interested in, or something that maybe some flavors that you thought this is not going to taste good and then you really loved it?
Well, I mean, for instance, our retail operations manager, he just came up with a new cocktail and he was like, hey, I want to use, you know, peanut butter whiskey in a chocolate martini. I was like, fingers crossed, man. I don't know. And it was actually really good. And our customers loved it. I mean, it's just like we went through our whole stash in the weekend. So that was a recent surprise.
Yeah.
But it's always new and exciting kind of to try new flavors. But I guess my favorite flavor or favorite chocolate bar that we make is our brain food bar. It's a darker chocolate. It doesn't have a lot of sugar, but we add some berries and nuts to the back. And so the base chocolate has kind of some fruity and earthy flavor notes to it on its own. And then it's kind of made into a healthy snack, like healthy chocolate option. It's crunchy and, yeah, it's kind of my go-to.
You can read more about Markham & Fitz in the latest issue of O Magazine, on newsstands and online now at oprahmag.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. Tonight at 8, 91.3 KUAF presents a live conversation about the latest developments regarding COVID-19. NPR, All Things Considered in KUAF, are offering a nightly live program that's a national conversation about the most recent developments during these unusual times. It's also a place for your questions to be answered. The live national conversation from NPR, All Things Considered in KUAF, begins at 8 tonight on 91.3.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. Today we're in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio on the phone with KUAF's General Manager, Lee Wood.
Good to talk to you, Pete.
Of course, I haven't spoken to you face-to-face in the better part of a week, and I guess we should maybe describe why that is.
That's right. We at KUAF, we're complying with some suggestions that have come through the University of Arkansas and, of course, the city mayor of Fayetteville about working remotely. So any work that can be done remotely, we're encouraging KUAF staffers to do that. Of course, we have to have people at the station in order for us to be on the air and in order to produce segments and programs, just like Community Spotlight. But any work that can be done, email or even a phone interview like we're doing right now, needs to be done remotely at home, just to ensure the safety of KUAF staff and to make sure that we're in compliance with all of the rules that have been set out that seem to change day to day, I'll be honest with you. But everybody has been really adaptive and great about keeping the radio on and getting really informative content to our listeners. It's been vitally important. You guys have done a really good job.
Lee Wood, KUAF's General Manager. Now, we're talking to you today about something that we're offering definitely dedicated to our listeners. It's called KUAF Connects. It's a phone line.
Just a dedicated phone line for listener messages. We've wanted to do something like this for quite some time, and when social distancing and remote work sort of started to become necessary, we thought we'd go ahead and get it set up. And what we're doing is we're asking our listeners to call in, leave a message on the phone line, letting us know how they're spending their time at home, social distancing, in particular, how they're using technology in order to connect with loved ones and friends and colleagues. I think this is a time where a lot of people are going through a learning curve, trying to figure out how we can continue to see each other and talk to each other and do work together as we're all sort of at home. And so that phone number is 479-575-6577. And it's just like an old school voicemail. You leave your name, the city that you are calling from, and then tell us about how you're using technology to keep in touch and be able to still do your work and see your loved ones.
Now, I know, of course, the COVID-19 crisis. This is first and foremost, but that also in the future when we, you know, back to, and I'm doing the air quotes, normal life, this can serve our listeners in different ways as well. It's not necessarily just for and because of this crisis, correct?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, like I've said, we've wanted to set this up for a long time so that we can more efficiently air listener messages and comments. We're sort of borrowing from the template of 1A or Science Friday, which are the leaders in call-in shows, so that we can really let folks know that we are a community presence. We're here to air your comments and your feedback and messages. So, of course, yes, as soon as we're able to get back to quote-unquote normal life, this will continue, and we want to continue to air the voices, the diverse voices and opinions of our listenership out over the airwaves.
Again, we're calling it KUAF Connects. It's a phone line dedicated to you, the listeners. Once again, that number is 479-575-6577. Give a call. Let us know how you're coping with the COVID-19 crisis and how you're keeping in touch with your loved ones and your friends. Lee Wood, KUAF's general manager. Lee, so good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too, Pete. Thank you.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF Public Radio. Local matters.
This is Ozarks at Large. Sunday evening, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, sat down with John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, for their latest conversation. And don't worry, they had a proper amount of social distance between them. Roby asked John Brummett how he thought public officials are doing in their efforts to communicate with us.
Well, the governor's getting pretty good marks from everyone, including a lot of liberals who haven't wanted to give him the credit I've been giving him for two or three years. He is reporting daily. He is reporting measured, accurate information. He's taking the questions, and if he feels a need to finesse them, he does that. He surrounds himself with what looks like a pretty competent team, and he is taking reasonable, affirmative action. You can argue about whether he's taking too much or too little, but I think he gets good marks, and I think there's clarity from the governor. There's a feeling of this is credible information, and I trust that he's pretty good guy. The federal level, let's face it, and not to politicize this, but Donald Trump is the most polarizing figure of modern times. And he is now the point person in the position of being the national leader for what is an uncommonly frightful crisis. And I do not believe that, and less than half the people believe him. And he also is given, and I think even some of his supporters would admit this, he is given to talking about everything in a grandiose, self-referential way, giving himself credit for doing a great job without showing that he's doing a great job. So I think the state is doing well. I think most governors are doing well. A phenomenon is that Governor Cuomo's briefings in New York are now a national phenomenon, people finding them more helpful than Trump's. The doctor, Fauci. Excellent. And when he has a disagreement with the president or he needs to correct him, he does so in a subtle way. And we have, I think he's been important. But I think that, and this is common, I don't want to go on too much, but in Arkansas, we always knew, historically, we trust our governors. We get to know them, they're close, they're nearby, we see them. Our governors get incredible positive ratings, whether it's Hutchison, B.B., Huckabee, whomever. Federal level, not so much. But that turns out to be true of most states. You find nearly governors everywhere are getting pretty good marks for their affirmative, assertive action, and people are not feeling good about what they're hearing each day from the federal government.
Let's talk lastly here just about how long you think people, society as a whole, can do this social distancing thing. I mean, we're not even 2 weeks into it here in Arkansas. And I sense it's already difficult for many people.
Right.
And it doesn't look like there's any end in sight.
This is such an unnatural thing. We're an energetic people. We're a social people. We measure ourselves by getting out and doing things. We're facing a crisis. What do you normally do when you're in a crisis? You get mobilized into action. What is this crisis causing us to be told to do? Mobilize into immobility. Here's a check. Sit on your couch. Don't do anything. Don't do anything while we can't tell you what the situation is. We're asking you to sit there and do nothing, and we're probably going to send you a check. But I don't know how long it'll be, and we don't know exactly what the situation is right now because we don't have testing kits, and we can't take an inventory of where we are. Yeah. What I just described, with all due respect to the spirit of the American people, is not a sustainable system or form of human behavior. You can't do that in the long term. You've got to have some incentive. Okay, show me that it's worse and make me be even more drastic in my behavior, or show me the end game, or show me how it gets better. Failing that, I don't know when. I can't possibly say when. But I'm just telling you, this kind of model is not a plan, and it's not conducive to normal human behavior for you or for me or for most of the folks out there. So the narrative has to change. It may change to the worse, and we'll deal with that. It may change to the better, and we'll feel better. But just sit in a bunker while we don't tell you any facts. No, can't last long.
John Brummett is a political writer with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he spoke Sunday evening with Roby Brock, Roby with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can find the entire conversation at talkbusiness.net.
Governor Asa Hutchinson declared a public health emergency March 11th after confirming Arkansas's first presumptive positive case of COVID-19. Information about the number of positive cases in the state is available at healthy.arkansas.gov. The Arkansas Department of Health has also activated a call center at 1-800-803-7847. You can keep up with local updates on our website, KUAF.com.
A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Prairie Grove. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. Stay tuned. Next on 91.3 KUAF, we continue our series of special programs from NPR. NPR, All Things Considered, and KUAF teaming up for a national conversation all this week at 8 o'clock after these evening editions of Ozarks at Large. Live call-in presentations of All Things Considered. Get the latest news on COVID-19, the latest updates, plus a chance to have your questions answered. That's live from NPR and All Things Considered, beginning next on 91.3 KUAF. Contributors to this edition of Ozarks at Large included Antoinette Grajeda, Jacqueline Froelich, Daniel Carruth, Timothy Dennis, and Susanna Sitek. Susanna also gave us news and sound from the Rogers City Council press conference that was held earlier today, as well as news and sound from the Fox Trails hand sanitizer. Our show is mastered by Timothy Dennis at his home studio. Our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can often catch Daryl performing live on his Facebook and Instagram feeds. His most recent CD is titled Safe in Sound. The Community Spotlight, produced by Pete Hartman in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio. And our conversations between John Brummett with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Roby Brock with our partner from Talk Business and Politics are a feature of our partnership with Talk Business. You can learn more at talkbusiness.net. All right, we will be back tomorrow at noon and 7 with a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. You can find out more about KUAF at KUAF.com. You can find out more about our show, as well as find past full editions of the show and individual stories and interviews at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. From my closet studio in Fayetteville on Mount Sequoia, I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for spending part of your Wednesday evening with us. We're back with you tomorrow. Stay well.